That is, thank you for the cantina theme. That is so funny to me. It's okay. All right. So y'all are going to have to kind of bear with me. It's been kind of a crazy week. I'm exhausted. I think I maybe had like 6 hours of sleep this week. So if my eyes are a little red or I look a little insane, I promise you I don't have a gun or anything. Y'all are going to be fine. But I kind of spent a long time thinking about this and like trying to convey what's important to me within this movement model. And I'm kind of glad it's a smaller group of guys that have heard this like 5 million times in many different ways. Because after praying about it for a few days and really thinking about it, I feel it's important just to kind of really quickly go over this Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom. And I just have some notes I wrote. And I'll read whatever's I have time for, I guess. But if somebody were to ask me the most important part of this movement model, I would say for myself, absolutely, 100%, having the purpose of having intimacy with Christ is really the most valuable part for me. Because when I examine this and I look at the things we talk about as a movement of men, and we talk about reaching out to people, and we talk about discipling men, and we talk about, you know, showing them to Christ instead of mentoring them and making another version of ourselves, we talk about our lives being examples of men who are married to Christ as brides of Christ and men of God. But I can't really put that into words in front of people outside of this room like I just did in a way that they're really going to understand. And I have my whole family. I've been around my family a lot lately, actually. And they've been asking me about this. And, you know, some of them are believers. And I'm not going to say some of them are atheists. But there's ones that are just agnostic. And I try to explain what this is, what we're doing right now, what we do every day. And it's like, I don't have the words for it. I struggle with it. Yeah, sure, I could go, yeah, well, Matthew 6:33 says this, but they don't read the Bible. They want to know what's going on in my life, you know? They're my family. But what about those people that don't? You know, and so I think about that all the time. One of the things that I realized recently is, like, if you were to put me in a room with people and you were to say, okay, I want you to impress these people, right? The only thing I could do is literally... I made this joke earlier. I'm probably literally going to be the only guy that laughs at it. But me, naturally, is this, right? We were talking about Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? And I thought it was really funny if C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Lionel Richie's Wardrobe instead, and I laughed about that for like half an hour. It's stupid. So that's why you can't say, like, Will, you do this, you know? And I've been realizing that. I can't face the stuff going on with my dad in my natural state because I don't know how to handle my emotions. You know, I don't. And it's really important for me to build relationships with men based on friendship and mutual understanding. And when we get to one of the other verses that talks about sharing in these weaknesses and you know, just being able to find common ground with people, that's become very important for me because I spend most of my life literally not knowing how to have connections with people, you know. And the only good things people could probably say about me was that this guy's freaking weird. And that was probably the best compliment I ever got. So me on my own, I have no business. And when I started coming around here, I would read this and I would look at it and I'd read it over and over and over again because I wanted to understand these things that I had struggled with for so long. And I've had like a lot of really amazing opportunities recently to I'm sorry, guys. You know, I'm not like crying because I'm sad. I'm just thinking about like one of the most important things I wrote here. I can't even read half of this because I'm just going to start. But I realized recently, if somebody asked me, are you the kind of man that loves Jesus? I don't even know. I couldn't explain love in a natural sense to anybody, let alone say if I really, really actually love Jesus. But I can tell you that I know how much he loves me. And that's all I can really tell you. And I think it's really important also for me to try to live a life that way, who sees that and is willing to share that with other people, because I'm really thankful that I have the opportunity to do it. And this week, I've been dealing with my own personal things, and it's been kind of hard, and I was really not wanting to come out here because I was afraid I was going to start doing this. And y'all were going to look at me like, what's wrong with you? But this is incredibly healing for me, and I try to pray about this for other people. And I wrote this down here somewhere. But basically, if you were to ask me what I hope to get out of this, I've never thought that I wanted to be a model of this discipleship thing, because I really didn't understand it, and I can't really explain it in words. I know what it is. I can explain it in the moment when I need to with people who really genuinely want to know, but I can only do that when I get out of the way. I can't do it in myself. None of this. And so I'm learning that my stories in my life, my experiences, the things I'm going through right now, and all of these things, even though right now I'm invested emotionally in certain things, they don't actually belong to me. Because when they belong to me and I'm owning them, that bank account runs dry. You know, I've got this bank account that has $500 in it, and I'm going to reach the limit on that. And I'm not going to be able to draw anything else out of it. And here I am, and I'm just like, man, I got to get through this stuff right now. I've got to just try to not let myself get so worked up that I'm freaking out and I'm scaring my family. And they're looking at me, and I'm... and I just want to make jokes about my dad watching stroke TV in the hospital because I don't know how to handle it. And I'm praying and I'm asking God, use these things in my life. Use all these circumstances. Use all these situations for whatever you want to do. Because I know that apart from him, I can't do anything. Anything I do apart from Jesus is absolutely worthless. It really is. But I would never have understood that when Paul writes about, I see all these things as loss compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. You know, in myself, I can't understand that apart from them. You know, and I had something pretty good I wrote down, but I can't even read it. When we talk about some of the verses we have here, which I really hope I can actually read, like I said, 1 Corinthians 9:22. Everything, when I'm getting to know somebody, I've had these moments where people have opened up to me about things that I can't imagine somebody would ever open up to me about, you know. And in those moments, I'm like, okay, in my mind, obviously, I'm going, why are people coming to me, you know? And I have that reaction at first, but it's really been recently in my life that I recognize, obviously, they're not coming to me, man. They're not going to me to tell me about, you know, these really deep personal things. They're coming to Jesus, but Jesus is using me as a part of that, and I'm really thankful for that. So again, when I go back to saying that I would like to say that I'm a man who loves Jesus, but I think I'm more a man who's learning to really fully appreciate the things he's done for me, because he's really done a lot. Yeah, and then I wrote, here, let me just read one thing I wrote, and I'm probably going to sit down. But my only personal vision in this is more of an urgent and persistent desire. I want to be a part of the process of someone seeing this great love for the first time. It's kind of stupid. I don't know why I wrote this, but I wrote so I can kind of get high off of those fumes. Because it's really an amazing experience when somebody actually understands this, and I'm struggling to find the words, and somebody comes to know how much Jesus loves them and what he actually did and the great sacrifice for someone like me and someone like all of us. I'm not only writing about me, but this is all of us in this room. We're all broken men, and he's using us for this. And I remember one time a great addict once told me, "I'll take what I can get." And here I am saying, "Lord, this is too much." Whenever he's ready, there will be a perspective change. And there have been many in my life, and I'm sure there have been many in yours, and there will be many more. But I know someday we will understand the great width and length and depth and height. I see now that everything in my life, having been redeemed, has actual value. It empowers me to share in the weakness and difficulties of life and to find common ground. It makes me an effective worker. I didn't learn anything about relationships, and I went over that. But I can't deny that supernaturally God's work is being done. When I see us in this room and I see people in my personal life coming to me, I have to just be aware that it's God's work, and they're not coming to me because of anything that I've done on the cross or anything that I could possibly say to get them to buy into this vision that we're talking about right now. I can only do that because he's empowered me to do that. You can only do that because he's empowered you to do that. And of course, my goal is to point them to Jesus, to be an example of someone looking to Jesus. And I wrote this for kind of for myself, but y'all can do with it what you will. But can you really call it a sacrifice if a self-discipline and self-denial has an infinite and almost immediate eternal return of joy? And then nothing can actually take that away. I've been having a lot of conversations with people about my own interests and things. I have a lot of that because I'm not really a sports guy, so don't ask me about football because I'm completely knowledgeless about it. I don't know anything about a lot of things, actually. But I do know my interests, and so we can talk about these things. But when I talk about them, I find that they don't really mean a lot to me compared to this. So I'm like, okay, I like to find the common ground, but I want to get to this so bad, you know? Like, I just want this so bad. And then I'm careful not to win them to my cause. I'm careful to try to win them to the Lord's, and that literally means, okay, I really got to shut up. if I have doubts in my intentions or actions, I can be certain of the Lord's cause. One thing I wrote down yesterday that really meant a lot to me as I was reading through Galatians again was, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I was having a conversation with a family member, and she was fearing for this thing that was unrealistic. And I said, does this thing that you're fearing right now fall under any of that category of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And in that moment, it's not like I thought of that. I mean, I guess I did because I memorized the verse and all that, but that was useful for the moment for that person, because then they're going to believe this lie, and they need to know that if it's coming from God and it's a produce of the Holy Spirit, you can trust that it's coming from that. So that's an amazing thing for me. Instead of being like, oh, you know, let me try to make you feel better with some stupid joke, it's not going to work. And then he wants to show all of us his love, and only God can use guys like us to advance his kingdom. And I hope that when I'm obedient and faithful, I really hope this, I really do, that this happens without me having to use words, honestly. I'm not just saying that because we talk about it. Like, I genuinely don't want to say the wrong things to people. But God uses that, you know, I mean, I found. And then, because my words don't get this job done. The job's already done. I'm just a steward of these things. Okay, and then let me read this real quick. I know you've all heard it, but... So, without the purpose of intimacy with Christ, for me, vision and mission never happened. I could come to a million of these retreats, and I might write down some good notes, and we could talk about it, we could have some good fellowship, and, you know, we could do this, and I can stand up here and have all kinds of weird emotional stuff because I'm exhausted, whatever. But the actual purpose of vision and mission being meaningful and having eternal value for me, and I'm sure it's the same for you, I'm sure you'll all agree, but it's to have intimacy with Jesus Christ. If I don't have that, everything falls apart. And so I really just wanted to talk about that today because right now in my life and in my personal experience, it's become very important for me. And I have these moments where I'm avoiding it because I don't want to become emotional. And, you know, the Lord's just really working on me and working with me. But yeah, I just want to thank you guys. I think that's about it. You want this?
Thank you, Will.
Yeah. Awesome job. Yeah, thank you.